Blog Talk Radio.
Two tears in the bucket, I cry with you, but I can never lie with you. I can never afford not to afford. I can never put my plans to the side with you. I can never see a red light like a deer with the headlight. I freeze up when I re-up. See, I better have patience, and you're relating. Only the moment to complete us. Why you hate to work for it? The reason I never went to work for it. See, a 9 to 5 was so jive, turkey. But when Thanksgiving came, that check did hurt me. You plead the fifth, I read the fifth amendment. We both criminals with bad intentions. They say time heals all, but if I can shortcut my success, mother phone call, y'all, what's up?
DJ Ray Real, DJ Iceberg. Brothers feel like yours. Ain't that smoking kind of hard on you? I was hard when I started. I'll be hard when I get through. For example, if I had a sample of some of that funk like you, would I be funky too? And another thing, it ain't so hard, it ain't so strange. If I could be funky like you.
Dr. Funkenstein, that's my spiritual leader. Some suckers don't like it, cause I'm a psychic. And if you tricks don't like it, ho, you can dike it. It's that self-made Kool-Aid. Look what red and blue made. Turn O'Shea into N.W.A. Triple O.G. ain't never sold the key. Ain't never did time, they still respect mine. Ask all the niggas on the main line who they favorite and what he's made with. Playboy, I ain't nothing to play with. I'm dangerous when it come to using this language. Me and Starchild, we talk to strangers. All the real hoods is ready to bang this. You might not understand if you come from Cambridge. I'm flesh and blood, that's hard and stainless. Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be hard.
It's good to be hard, homie. But damn, it's hard to be good.
Brothers feel like yours.
2 years in a bucket.
Ain't that smoking kind of hard on you? I was hard when I started. I'll be hard when I get through. Brothers feel like yours. Ain't that smoking kind of hard on you?
I'll say.
I was hard when I started. Gonna be hard when I get through.
Brothers feel like yours.
2 years in a bucket.
Ain't that smoking kind of hard on you?
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to In Black American Radio with your host, Rasta B, my co-host, Smoke, and we're talking about changing the narrative and creating solutions within Black America. My co-host, you might call in later on, he's on a special meeting right now. And we just want to talk about changing narratives and creating solutions within Black America because, see, the thing is this, we hear about what's wrong and what's going on bad within the community, but a lot of times nobody tells us, well, how do we change that? What can I do to better myself? What should I say to my son as a single parent mother? What should I say to my daughter as a single parent father? I'm doing everything that they tell me I should do, but I'm still in a position where I'm not in power. Do you know anything that I don't know? And if so, can you pass that information on to me? And that's what's important. You have to go back to the teachings of each one teach one. We have to go back to the teachings of each one, teach one. That's something that I used to hear back in the day, back in the 90s, growing up as a kid. Each one, teach one. See, the lack of unity that we have now is something that this society wanted to destroy from us for a long time. But the number way to destroy that wasn't just making us hate each other. A lot of it is making us forget when we loved each other. We used to have a saying called, each one, teach one. Meaning, whatever you learn, whatever you find out, you come back and you teach the ones that don't know. We have to go back to that. We have to go back to being prideful to teach and respect one another. We have to go back to being prideful to love each other. Like, there's no other way to say it, but it's to love each other. We have to learn to appreciate one another and learn to understand the strength, I should say, in understanding that the more of us that know, it's easier for us to grow. Straight up. Because I might know something in the hood that you don't know in the mainstream world. You know something in the mainstream world that I don't know in the hood. So each one teach one is the method and the knowledge and the formation that we should be following, because once you educate the one that don't know, he can add or she can add that into her or his equation of upliftment. And then whatever that brother or sister learned can then pass that on to you and rehash you something that you never thought about that can help you in your situation. And ultimately, us as the Black people, we're working together, moving together, elevating and functioning as a people to maximize our situation here in America, because it's not about hating America. It's not about hating this white man. It's just about bettering yourself. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. So that's what we're learning. That's what we're talking about. And that's what we're facing and that's what we're dealing with. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the narratives. We're going to talk about the effects and things that's going on within the society, within Black America, within the Black world, the Black economy. And we're going to bring all of this together and we're going to figure out, how do we make this work for us? if we don't make this work for us, because see, the thing is, if we don't understand what's going on out here in America, then we don't understand what's going on out here in the world. Now, I understand that there's other people outside of Americans. There's black people that's in Canada. There's black people that's in Europe. There's black people that's in Mexico, West Indies, Australia, Asia, so forth, so on, Africa. So it's like we have to put ourselves in a position where we can work within ourselves and build up our population, because if we don't, everybody's going to take advantage of us. What's going on now, I have a story to tell you guys, is the title is Wary Professors Give Up, Concede That Africa Is a Country. They concede that Africa is a country because everyone, they're not calling it a continent, they keep calling it a country. So they say Africa, after years of teaching, speaking, and publishing in an effort to convey the breadth and nuance of Africa's thousands of cultural groups. Earlier today, two wary professors gave up the fight to convince Americans that Africa is not, in fact, a country. Conceding defeat, Assistant Professor Laura Sayai and Kim Yi Dion threw in the metaphorical towel on Friday morning. They were the last holdouts in a decade-long struggle against the forces of poorly informed journalism, Eurocentric educational curricula, and Irish pop star who peaked in 1987. Maybe that's who they were. It doesn't matter how many map quizzes I give or how often I interrupt students to ask them to be specific about the amazing pictures from their volunteer trip to Africa. Things are never going to change, said Dion. I might as well give up. Reach as she directed several research assistants to methodically begin erasing boundary lines from the African map in her collection. She ruefully added, I guess I'll stop correcting people when they tell me that they're headed to Ghana, Africa, for a church mission trip. Campaign 2016 email updates. So basically, what these white people have a little issue with is that their people that visit Africa is calling Africa, Africa. It's like they're sitting there and they're calling Africa like I'm going to America. Well, where are you going? I'm going to Africa. And so instead of saying I'm going to Ghana, I'm going to Africa. Instead of saying I'm going to Kenya, I'm going to Africa. The funny thing about that is I was watching Batman versus Superman, and they have a scene in the beginning where they say that they're in Nairobi. But it doesn't say Nairobi, Kenya. It says Nairobi, Africa. So you have to understand that a lot of this deals with globalization. You see what I'm saying? They carve Africa up to make it weak by dividing it up. But now they have to unify it because of how people are viewing it, you know? So that's that. We have another story I want to bring up, talking about presidential candidate John Kasich, who blames minorities not working with him for Ohio's black infant mortality rate. So he's basically saying that if black Ohioans would work with him and listen to his proposals or suggest proposals, instead of just isolating him due to the fact that he's a Republican, then it probably would make their lives easier. So it says, it's no secret that Governor John Kasich is no moderate. He may appear to be relative to someone like Ted Cruz, but his position on their own are in no way centrist. Just look at how he responds to a question about the deplorable disparity between white and black Ohioans. So in an NBC town hall event earlier this week, he says, the Chuck Todd, the host, said, pressed Kasich on his efforts within the black community, asking why, despite his efforts, the Annie E. Casey Foundation ranked Ohio the sixth worst state to raise a black child in. Median income is a $20,000 gap between black and white in Ohio. Cleveland is considered one of the 10 most segregated cities in the country, which is why it's important for black people to create and operate an economy. Demonstrate just how serious he took these issues, Kasich turned the conversation towards infant mortality, where he proceeded to shrug off responsibility, blaming African American communities instead, because he had tried, and damn it, the minority community just isn't doing what they should. That's what he's saying. So I don't know about all that study. I will tell you this. The issues of infant mortality is a tough one. We have taken that on, and one of the toughest areas to take on is in the minority community, in the black community. And the community itself is going to have a better partnership with all of us to begin to solve the problem with infant mortality in the black community, because we're making gains in white communities. We don't ignore any of this, Chuck. These are serious issues, and they need to be addressed, and I don't put my head in the sand. And if I got to get people upset doing it, that's life. Now, as Daily Kos Laura Clawson knows, according to data released last summer, Ohio ranked 45th nationally on infant mortality. 45th nationally on infant mortality overall. Ohio rate of black infant mortality is 13.57, with second highest national for the 39th states where a state could be calculated. Only Wisconsin is 14 and Kansas is 14.18, far worse. So only Wisconsin, Kansas is worse than Cleveland, Ohio. It's worse than Ohio. So Ohio is an interesting company here. Among states that are willing to move heaven and earth to stop abortion because they're run by pro-life governments but somehow miserably fail actual babies. But it's not just that Kasich isn't doing enough. On the contrary, in this pro-life crusade, Kasich defunded the largest program in his state to address infant mortality. He defunded the largest program. So he said, though Kasich expanded Medicaid, which brought health care to many low-income mothers, a lot of the gains were erased in February, the month he signed the bill to slash $1.3 million of state-funded to Planned Parenthood and other organizations that perform or promote abortions, which isn't bad, even though Ohio law already prevented state funding from covering abortions. Also, he's saying that he slashed 1.3 from the funding, even though that money won't even go to abortion. The bill takes an effect May 23rd, so it's not even in effect yet. Among Planned Parenthood services and healthy moms, healthy babies, the largest of 14 infant mortality programs in the state. It is offensive to hear John Kasich tell black women what we should do with our bodies, though not at all surprising. John Kasich blamed black women for infant mortality while as governor, he cuts programs that help black families in Ohio. So basically, he's cutting the programs that would help the black families, but then blaming them if because of these cuttings, they decide to kill their babies. Me, as you might have heard in previous shows, I'm not for the murder of black babies. I'm not for Hillary Clinton. I'm not for the eugenics projects. I'm not for anything dealing with the killing of black babies. So, you know, I'm a little torn between the story, but the way I look at it is like this. If we had an economy, we wouldn't have to worry about these white people. We don't have to worry about the white people. So whatever little plans and plots they try to put on us, we won't have to deal with because we're dealing with ourselves. And we're not dealing with what white people doing and what white people have to say. So that's something that we have to say to ourselves. Like, we have to be serious with that first. We have, when we creating ourselves to be a new people, a new black people, a new black person and things of that nature, for us to do that, we have to do that with the full recognition that we are black. And once you recognize yourself, recognize that you are a black person, then you have to say to yourself, as a black person, what is it that I'm going to do and what is it that I'm not going to do? So this is In Black America. The topic is changing narratives to create solutions. The guest calling number is 646-716-4654. I'll call in, and I will be right back.
Hip Hop TXL did it.
Coming heavy, now I'm coming heavy. I hope you're ready, cause it's gonna be a real long time I be around. To make way through the crowd, swimming through a sea of people, hope I don't drown. Just trying to make way through the town. From my sit drop, bitch, turn it up loud. And tune the money niggas out, I'm the youngest nigga rapping. Every time I'm stepping out, and every step I start your face, you pop up right in front of your house. Niggas think because they conscious, we don't really get it popping. They forgot we from the bottom. They forgot we had to fight for every nickel, every dollar. Yeah, before the money and the power, you can ask my nigga powers. I've been putting in these hours, plotting domination. Now the whole world is out. Tell me why they hating. It's cause what I'm making. And if you little patient, it's gonna be what I'm taking. They got me mistaken. Critics try to box me. I feel like Rocky. When it come to paparazzi, somebody stop me. Fucking up my kamikazes. I'm on my 47 shit like I could you not see. Cause we drop a juice now, so we drop a juice. Several by the cools, probably see me on the news. So we got the juice, how they got this nigga loose. And while I'm free to speak, free my niggas for the truth. I feel like Victor Cruz, the giant from New York. I'm lacing at the boost, and I'm going fucking long. So if you trying to score, just pass it to me more. Never dropping the ball, always raising the ball. Man, it's gonna be a real long time I be around. To make way through the crowd, swimming through a sea of people, hope I don't drown. Just trying to make way. I'm the youngest nigga rapping heavy for my city now. All these other niggas think they from the south.
Bitch, I'm the one, even Ho said it. Though I never signed the rock, I know I don't regret it. You know I'm coming for the top, you see me getting bigger. Can you sign if you know you tryna be the nigga? When I made it to his office, I was 17. Like 40 floors up, I could appear wings. In that moment, man, I knew I could do anything. Feeling like a young Simba, can't wait to be king. And I never lost my hunger, no, I stay hungry. If we started talking numbers, man, they wouldn't love me. Man, I'd rather keep the peace, I was just getting ugly. But fuck it, what I'm about to say is what they didn't want me. 60K first week for the badass. 200K to the state, I know you niggas mad. With the 80-20 split, my nigga do the math. My nigga Kirk just outsold Troy, yeah. Let him sleep, we about to hit him with the knick-knack. Got these niggas praying hurt, lip biscuit. It's crunch time, at the go and get the shit wet. Got the ninjas on deck and bitches in check. And that's a shot to anybody, man, I don't feel you. ZZ told me to go hard and niggas ain't hear you. I see the whole future clear and I'm near too. And if you really break a leg, I hope they still will cheer
man,
you.
Man, it's gonna be a real long time I be around, to make way through the crowd. Swimming through a sea of people, hope I don't drown. Just trying to make way through the town. When my shit drop, bitch, turn it up loud. And tune the mother niggas out. I'm the youngest nigga rapping heavy for my city now. Tell these other niggas I've been coming for the crown.
Ready or not.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's Inbox America, it's your host, Rasta B. We're talking about changing the narratives and creating solutions within Black America. We're talking about ways to improve ourselves, different ways for us to think. We're changing the narratives. We're changing the way we look at ourselves. Because what I feel like is, because of how we look at ourselves, it's because it is how we act towards one another. And if we change the way we look at ourselves, and really to change the way how you look at yourself, then a lot of the stuff in our community will change. And that's what we need. We have a lot of different stories that I like to bring to the people so we know what tricks the devil is up to, you know. Now, a lot of people heard about Richard Nixon's top advisor admitting that the war on drugs was a policy to go after anti-war protesters and Black people. So we know that. So we also want to bring to the light of people that, where's the story at? Trying to find the story. It should be a story about how there's the courts should have dismissed a claim where police wanted to use a sting, this type of equipment in a van where they can basically record your cell phone conversations without you knowing, because they're doing this off of like wave ranges and radiation and things of this nature. So I'm trying to find that story right now. But I also want to let people know that in Kansas, they're using drones to spot and to cover Black people. So you have to understand a lot of the technology that they're using on American citizens. So when they're using the drones in Afghanistan and Iran and these other places, once they no longer is using it over there, they don't just get rid of that technology and everything goes back to when we didn't never need or know about the technology. No, they use the technology on us. So law enforcement official authorities in Harvey County have implemented one of the first unmanned aerial system programs in the region, according to a social media report from Newton Police. They promise transparency regarding the use of the UAV program. They promise, and if you know what a promise is a covenant to a fool. Just before 12:30 p.m. on Friday, March 25th, the program was just put to use to document evidence at the scene of an injury accident on I-135 just south of Heston exit. Officers were able to obtain a bird's-eye view of the scene, observing skid marks and viewing the relative position of what vehicle came to rest is valuable to the investigation. The UAV, see, they're trying to use this thing right now as, well, this was a traffic situation, and we used it for a traffic situation, and this is how it helped with this traffic situation. You see what I'm saying? But they're not going to tell you the story of the drug situation yet until later. You dig what I'm saying? That's how they operate. They sell it to you on one side of the game, but they're not going to tell you about the other side of the game. That's for you to figure out. You see what I'm saying? That's for you to figure out. When you figure that out, then you'll be able to understand how and why they're doing certain things. But they're not going to tell you that. But they're going to use that for you too. In a previous show, I illustrated to black people that being considered a terrorist or a hate group in this country will now be deemed whether you call the white man the devil. You don't have to commit no crimes and no violence to be considered a hate group now. Where white people had to commit crimes and violence. You, black man, black woman, black child who wants to create your own little group, you calling the white man the devil will deem you a hate group now. That's how they play the games. That's how they're doing the situation. That's how they're wording it. So basically what I'm saying is pay attention to what's going on, and most importantly, do what you got to do so you can damn better yourself, better your family, and most importantly, better your race. The weak is going to die off. The strong is going to live. Be part of that strong. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is not doing. That's not important. What's important is doing what it is that you have to do. Because you got to make sure that you're good. If you're not good, none of it means nothing. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it don't mean nothing. So, with that said, I want to bring up a story talking about, and this is in particular for the black woman, this story right here, I'm waiting to come up, to pull up. Ear infections in blacks. Ear infections in babies are falling. Breastfeeding could be the reason. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because black women of the past was the leading number of women was breastfeeding their babies. But once y'all started to get caught up into this white people's medical system, then y'all started to get formulas, which is making your baby sick. So I'm giving this right here. It's for the black woman to follow and to do, and it's for the black man to enforce. That's your job, black man, is to enforce. So they say rates of ear infections among American babies in their first year of life has dropped significantly over the last 20 to 30 years, say researchers who cited increased rates of breastfeeding as one of the reasons. The team from the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston reports the finding of the journal Pediatrics. The researchers find that compared with similar studies from 20 to 30 years ago, rates of ear infection in American babies has fallen from 18% to 6% in 3 months old, from 39% to 23% and 6 months old, and 62% to 46% in 1 year olds. They suggest use of vaccination, higher rates of breastfeeding, and the decline in smoking rates could be a major reason. So instead of them just saying it's because of the breastfeeding, which it is, they're going to say they suggest that the use of vaccination, so vaccinating your child, breastfeeding your child, and stopping smoking could be a major reason. They're adding that in because they don't want to say it's because of the breastfeeding. Because I guarantee you, if you vaccinate your child, you decline your smoking, and you don't breastfeed your child will still have ear infections. So the breastfeeding is what helps. So when the black woman sits there and she screw her face and I don't want to breastfeed and that's nasty and other weird things that I be hearing black women say now when it comes to breastfeeding they children, it's like you have to understand that benefits your child and that benefits your pocket because you're not going to be taking off a bunch of days having to deal with a sick child. You see what I'm saying? And that's something that you have to think about because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, your child's health is dependent on you and whether or not you are breastfeeding and giving your child the stuff that your child needs. Like, this is important. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is important. These are things that you can't look at yourself and look at narratives like, I'm pregnant, I have a child, and I'm not letting that stop my everyday life. No, that's not how you have to change that narrative. Because, see, right now we have to deal with how we're going to build ourselves up as black people. You see what I'm saying? And as we build ourselves up as black people, the number one thing that we have to do is we have to change the narrative and the stigmas that kept us in a subservient situation. When we do that, we'll see ourselves rise up. The Chinese do it. The Chinese are sitting over there looking at pictures of them with the slanty eyes and the big teeth, and they're not looking at that shit. Now they're trying to show their Chinese men as sex scenes models, and their women as sex models, and when they're having a family, then guess what? We want our families to look like, you know what I'm saying, everyday American families. We don't want our families to look like stereotypical Asian families. You know what I'm saying? That's how they operate now. And we have to be the same way in the sense that we have to want to change our viewpoint on what's going on and how we look at ourselves in comparison to how we look at the world. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's important. And for us to do this, for us to do that, we have to change our narratives of who we are. As a black man, you have to always say to yourself, not only are you a protector of your family, you also are a creator. And if you're not creating, that's a problem. That's a major problem. That's a major problem. If you as a black man is complaining because you don't have a job and you're not working for somebody, that's a problem. Am I saying that if you work for somebody that's not cool or that's not honorable or something? No, there's nothing wrong with that because you should always want to take care of your family. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, you also have to say to yourself that this is what I'm supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm supposed to do as a black man. I'm supposed to create. I'm supposed to be able to generate and sustain. You see? Even if you work for somebody, that's how you're supposed to think, and that's how you're supposed to move it, that's how you're supposed to operate. You're not supposed to look at life as somebody giving you something. Never are you supposed to think like that, black man. And once we do that and we move and we take on the responsibility as men and compete against these other men of these other races and do the things that we're supposed to do, then guess what? Our women will respect us. And they will do what they have to do as black women so we can move on as a black unit and family and reclaim our position in this community, in this position that we are in and in this world. Because the only way for us to reclaim our throne on this planet and on this world so we can be who we are, because sometimes I wonder if we didn't fall just to see if we are strong enough to get back on top. How about that? Maybe we fell to challenge ourselves to see if we're strong enough to get on top. And what I see black people around this globe strong enough to get back into the position that they are in. They choose not to, like we don't want the responsibility. I don't see black people sitting around here unable to do things because we're too stupid or we're not educated enough to do something. I don't see that. I see black men and black women in the position they're in because they got in comfortable being in a subservient position within the society. That's what I think will happen. I think we done got so used to being beneath white people and being workers and the slaves of white people that we chose to do that and not to stand on our own out of fear that maybe something can be taken away from us, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it's like we have to change that about ourselves, black men. We have to go back to competing and go back to fighting and go back to winning. Because everything that we do compete and we do fight for, we dominate. You know that to be true. You see that with the presidential election going on right now. This election is boring because there's no black man. Let's keep it a buck. You know? So that's why I say that. But what I will say when it comes to the black woman, you have to really get back in your place. You got to get back in your place, yo. You got to get out this black man lane, and you got to get back in your lane and get out of his lane. This macho aggression shit that y'all holding on to, that y'all getting from this black man, y'all don't know what to do with it. And y'all really fucking up the movement. Because what you got to understand with a black man, when we're dealing with that macho energy, we also deal with accountability and responsibility. That's what y'all don't have, and that's what y'all don't get. We deal with accountability and responsibility, meaning that when we say and we do something, we have to always think twice and three times or four and five times, because once we pull that trigger, whatever happens, happens. And we have to be responsible for that. So I'm looking on the news, and I see a story about a San Francisco State University begins an investigation into a black student's encounter with a white student over his dreadlocks. They say last month, a video surfaced online which appeared to show a black student at San Francisco State University engaging in a heated discussion with a white student who wore his hair in dreadlocks. Within the visual, the white student states, "You know what, girl? You have no rights to tell me what I cannot wear." While the woman laid out why his hair was an act of cultural appropriation. As he proceeded to walk away from the encounter, the woman reached out her hand to grab him. Given this gesture, the university announced that they plan to launch an investigation into the young black woman. The Root reports and released a statement on the matter. "We are aware of the video made of an incident which occurred on campus yesterday afternoon. University police were called to the scene of the incident where it occurred. The two individuals involved in the incidents are not San Francisco State University employees. Further, no criminal charges have been pressed at the time to the university's knowledge." So that's the whole thing. It's like, black women, stay the fuck up out of this whole fight, because a lot of time y'all jump in this shit and y'all be fucking shit up. You got this story with the woman, this chick fucking with the white boy who got dreads. There's another situation where the black chicks running around talking about some white boys threw rocks and called them racial slurs from a bus to find out that that's not true. And it's like, yo, just stay about this shit, man, because y'all making a mockery. You dig what I'm saying? Y'all making a mockery out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, ease up, yo. Let the man, because see, the difference between the men and the woman is that's our energy y'all biting. So just to let you understand what the energy is, we have to take responsibility and accountability for what it is that we do. So we think about what it is that we have to do, because we know that once we do it, that's it. There's no excuses. There's no cute faces we can make as men. So if you're going to take that, you know what I'm saying, if you're going to take this man's approach or whatever like that to them and things like that, if you want to take this man approach and act like you're a man, hold on to this whole hold on to this, equality and all kind of shit like that and trying to be men. But you got to understand, a lot of it is accountability. And for you as a woman to be sitting out there and creating issues, issues within the black communities to try to solve issues within the black community, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much what it is. And it's like, these are narratives that we have to create, that we have to stop, because as a black woman, you have to stop sitting around here thinking that you control the black man. Your job ain't to control us. Your job is to create life, teach, educate, love, nurture, hold down, run, and generate a business. Not to run no black man. So once you realize this, then maybe a lot of these things would change, you know what I'm saying, within the black community. But we have to change these narratives. We have to change this notion that, oh, somebody's in control of somebody else. No, we got what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, that's for black men, that's for black women, but, you know, just like I said, me, I don't like to speak about shit that I don't know. So I'm speaking a black man perspective towards a black woman. If she has something that she got to say, she had to call in. You know what I'm saying? And the call-in numbers is 646-716-4654, you know? And this is In Black America Radio. And so another solution to help black people out, I would like to bring up is, again, I brought it up before, but if you are a homeowner and you're paying more than $2,000 for your a year for your taxes, look into a homestead account. Go into your computer, type in homestead, H-O-M-E, S-T-E-A-D, put your county or whatever where you live at, and see if you apply. And if you do, apply for homestead, and that will lower your damn taxes that you have to pay. You know what I'm saying? We have to take advantage of all of these different situations and scenarios that we have out here so we can live our lives better and freer. You know? So that's how we have to do. So in the meanwhile, this is In Black America. Get calling number 646-716-4654. We're talking about changing the narrative and creating solutions. We want to change how we think, how we move, how we view life, how we view each other as a people, how we view ourselves, and understand that we create our lives. We create the atmosphere that's going on. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about this. All right, peace.
I can't figure it. I can't figure it out. I can't
figure it out.
Yeah.
Just like a nigga, go figure. Some shit they said they might never fix. More figures, more hating ass niggas. More commas, more hating ass problems. No matter how much I tried,
no matter how much I tried,
can't lie to you.
I can't.
top, poster like a backdrop. Rags to the riches, got rich and bought the rag top. Lot of homies died here, look at what the grind did. Put me in the same shoes, still do what shine did. More digits, more bitches, more riches. They don't want no broke niggas, but don't call them gold diggers. I don't know why I ain't get the picture. Why Cosby slipped up? Why I fucked them both when they said they sister? Why Easy ain't have the magic? Why AI never want a trip? Why God took Max and Chicks? He didn't take me when I got hit.
No matter how much I tried, no matter how much I tried, can't lie to you.
Carry on the fame, the money, the back rack crystals are hanging from the ceilings above me. Hearing people whisper, screaming, I'm lucky, but trust me, nothing come free. Shorty try to keep my son from me, or I could be delirious to take life serious. Remain single forever, can't wipe nothing, period. I'm a G, I need privacy. Media's never kind to me. Niggas beefing on small time things. We on a dying spree. He disrespected, yo.
Just like a nigga, go figure.
He talking reckless, yo. I can't accept it, yo.
No matter how much I try.
For the love of my people, I guess I let it go. I can't figure it out.
No matter how much I try. Can't lie to you. I can't lie to you. No matter how many times I run. No matter how many rhymes I run. If I got it all in my mind, I run. If I got it all in my mind, I run.
In Black America, we are back, changing the narrative and creating solutions within the black community and with the black people so we can better ourselves, get more money, improve our realities, improve our lives, so we can get out of our issues and better our situation. Like, have you ever looked at other people, other races, and said to yourself, damn, how are they doing so much better than me? How can I get where they at? A lot of times it's because of strategies, and you don't have strategies. So we're going to talk about strategies. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about ways, 10 ways to make $1 million. We're going to talk about smart strategies that will help you reach or surpass the seven-figure milestone. But you have to understand, for you to do these things, you have to be serious. You have to say to yourself, you know what, I'm dedicated. I'm dead ass. I'm serious. I'm ready to do this. The number one thing that you have to do is start a business. Start a business? How the hell am I going to start a business? Start a business. I ain't got no money to start a business. The 10 ways to make $1 million. So if I'm telling you the first way, I don't want to hear no bullshit. Start a business. So check it. Let's say you're a person who have no business experience, right? When you found it, like, this is like a past experience. You know, you done already founded your business, but you had no past experience, right? You was born in a foreign company to American parents who ran an orphanage. You had developed a knack for making a product. whether it's fried chicken or salsa or tacos or roti, pollori, you know, hamburgers, whatever. The only barbecue, the only thing I knew how to do was this product. But friends at the university of this school raved about the recipe, so this person decided to enter it into a contest. When they enter it into a contest, you won. At the time, this person was working full-time at an interior designer firm. So she was already working at a job. But she knew how to cook. How many of these stories sound familiar to you? A lot of you black women out there. Whether it's food, whether it's wigs, whether it's weaves and doing hair, whether it's making shoes, making pants and clothes and designing. You know? So, with an $800 investment, $800, she started making salsa in her kitchen, right, her product. Her first two customers were stores in the capital market. As her business grew, she rented commercial kitchens in Charleston and nearby Huntington, West Virginia. Her big break came in 2007 when she cold called Whole Foods. After a store representative expressed interest in her product, she loaded up her Honda Civic with salsa and drove 360 miles to Hyattsville, Maryland. The meeting led to a contract for 10,000 pounds of salsa a week, which enabled Cook to quit her interior design job. And focus on her business. She expanded her product line to include several kinds of dips and salsa and landed contracts with Kroger and Walmart in 2014. Cook sold her business to Garden Fresh Gourmet, a national salsa manufacturer. So, at the end, she done made a couple of million off of this idea. And when she started, she didn't have no idea how to run a business. But what you got to, and she started with an $800 investment. How many of y'all have a business where you can make a wig, a weave, pants, designing pants, shoes, do nails, makeup? How many of you know how to cook and bake muffins and cakes and cookies? How many of y'all know how to make food? Make hamburgers, chicken, macaroni, pot roast, fried chicken, fried turkey for Thanksgiving and Christmas? How many of y'all have a talent that you have to generate money that you're not even capitalizing off of to make you the money that you need? So that's step number one, start a business. Step number two, save early and often. A portfolio worth $1 million is the gold standard for many new retirees, depending on where you live and how much you can count on from guaranteed sources of income. It's often enough for a secured retirement. Employer-provided retirement plans offer the best route to success. Contributions to a 401k are pre-tax, which lowers your taxable income. Money inside your account grows unfettered by taxes, which boosts your annual return. The sooner you start saving, the more likely you'll reach your goal, but you must be willing to increase your contributions. Nearly 60% of companies with 401k plans automatically enroll new employees, usually at a 3% contribution rate, but that will leave you short of your goal. For example, 30-year-old makes $60,000 a year and contributes 3% a year. He'll have about 367,000 dollars by time he's 65. That assumes a 3% annual raise and a 7% rate of return. But if he bumps up his contribution to 10%, he'll end up with $1.2 million to retire on. If your employer matches contributions, and the vast majority of large companies do, you'll have an even better shot at reaching the million-dollar milestone if the same 30-year-old earns $60,000 and contributes 10% of his salary to a 401k plan with a 50% company match of up to 6% of pay by age 65, he will have nearly $1.6 million. So that's what I'll be trying to explain to a lot of black people. When you're working in corporate America and you have the option for 401k, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. Because it's company match by match. And you don't want to leave money on the table, you know? Another part of getting bread, this is number three, let your boss help. Some employers provide viable benefits that can help you reach your $1 million goal. For example, about 18% of private workers and more than 80% of public workers are eligible for traditional pension and a restricted stock unit. Share gives the employees after a vested date. Can be lucrative if the company stocks perform well, as any number of Silicon Valley millionaires can attest. For example, a Google employee with 1,400 restricted stock units would have a nest egg valued at more than $1 million. So that, see, this is like dealing with other little tax, you know, other little things that you can deal with. That's different. I don't even deal with none of that stuff like that. Number four is don't overspend. And this is something I do deal with. Even people who live in modest homes, drive used cars, and go camping on their vacations can undermine their thriftiness by committing money missteps. Overspending on children, for example, can be a big temptation, and it's particularly strong when it's time to send your kids to college. If you reduce or eliminate contributions to your savings plan to pay for college, you'll be hard-pressed to make up for those lost years of compounding. A better strategy, select a college for your family that your family can afford without racking up debt or incurring your children to take out federal student loans. Paying more than you owe to the IRS is another mistake that can leave you short of your goal. About 2/3 of taxpayers claim the standard deduction but millions would pay a lower tax bill if they itemized deductions, including the H&R Block Tax Institution. Homeowners typically benefit most from itemizing, but renters who pay high state income taxes and make large charitable contributions could also save money. So basically, you need to figure out ways to get as much deductibles as possible off of your tax return through charitable donations and anything dealing with the tax deductions or what would put you in a lower tax bracket. These are things you should be looking for. So that's four. Now we got five. We got five here. I'm trying to get five. Five is own a home. Right? So they're saying that owning a home, all right, they say home prices don't always rise, of course, and the housing bust wiped out the equity of plenty of homeowners. But over the long term, you're more than likely to reach your $1 million goal if you own a home than if you rent. When you buy a home with a fixed rate mortgage, you're basically locked in your monthly housing payment. If your income rises, you'll pay an increasingly smaller share of it on housing, which means you'll have more to save and invest. Again, if your income rises, you'll pay an increasingly smaller share on it, on housing, which means you'll have more to save and invest. That's what you're supposed to do with your money, Black people. You're supposed to save it and invest it. You're not supposed to get your money and spend it and blow it and trick on it and make it rain and do all the other little super stuff. All you're supposed to do is invest and save. Build a war chest. Build a war chest. You have to build your funds up, a nice cushion, to where if an issue happens, you got money to pull from. If you're ready to go to war, you got money to go to pull from. But if you don't have no money, then you just talking shit. So five is owning a home. Six, buy when stocks are cheap. A stock market slide like the one that occurred early this year may be nerve-wracking if you need to cash out your investment. But stocks still offer the best choice if your long-term goal is to hit the $1 million mark. How long it takes you to reach seven figures depends on how much you start with, how much you add to your kitty and how often, and how much you earn on your investments. Over the long haul, U.S. stocks have returned an annualized 10%, including dividends, building at that rate, it will take a bit less than 32 years to turn $50,000 into $1 million. If you invest $10,000 per year, it would take 24 years to reach the milestone. So again, investing in stocks. Buy low, sell high. And don't put the whole $50,000 in. $10,000 at a time and see what happens. All of these things are practical things that we can do. Either we know, we don't know, or we're scared. Seven, look for stocks on steroids. The surest way to make $1 million in the stocks is to go for growth and not worry so much about the price. Your chances of earning speculative returns improve if you hop aboard companies. So basically, they're saying you jump into big companies like Amazon, your Amazons and things like that, then they would jump up high enough to where you can make some bread too. They say, then a number eight is earn income on the side. A part-time job on the side, get courtesy of the sharing economy, could be the ticket to generate some extra cash. If you invest the money or use it to, say, help you buy a house, you'll get closer to your $1 million, meaning that if you get you an income on the side and make an extra, the side money you're supposed to be flipping. That's what you're supposed to be doing with your side money. It's flipping that shit. If you ain't flipping your side money, then you ain't doing shit. You're sitting around looking dumb. You know what I'm saying? Because your money is supposed to be flipping and working with you, not sitting over there because you want to give it to some strippers and shit because you got a fantasy of, I mean, a weakness of seeing naked chicks. You know what I'm saying? Then you got number nine is capitalizing on a windfall. Unless you come from a super rich family, you probably won't inherit $1 million when one of your family members dies. Still, there's a good chance that a modest windfall will come your way. Two-thirds of boomers will receive an inheritance. So basically, just come from an inheritance. Get your inheritance and pretty much flip it and invest that and flip that bread. Don't get your inheritance and get you big booties and big titties or new Jordans or a nicer car. And no, use that shit to flip it so you can have more bread. Use your brain. And number 10 is protect your wealth. Okay, arming yourself with insurance won't make you rich, but it can prevent your fortune from being wiped out if, say, you found liability for a car accident or you need a care in a nursing home. Umbrella liable insurance will protect your assets and future income, as well as legal fees, if you're sued and are required to pay damages. The policies typically pick up after you've exhausted liability costs from your home and car insurance. Most insurers require you to have at least $300,000 in liability coverage to both your home and auto before you can buy umbrella insurance. So this is just insurance. You know what I'm saying? So for you to get that $1 million. So there's other ways and a lot of ways for you to get this bread, for you to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Other ways for you to save your money is to refinance your home if you never did. You might have a high interest rate. You could refinance now and get a lower interest rate. You have to use these options that's out here in this world, in society, so we can better ourselves. You got to stop blaming and start looking for solutions, and that's what it is. So this is In Black America. The guest caller number is 646-716-4654. This is your host, Rasta B. Looks like my co-host Smoke won't be calling in today. He's on special mission. You can get in contact with us on Twitter, Facebook. It's all In Black America Radio, YouTube, In Black America Radio. I think Facebook is like In Black America Radio 7. Or .7, something like that. But just Google, look for us. We're out here in the streets. And next time, we'll see you again on Friday, where we'll be talking about more issues within the Black community and how to solve them, how to master them, change them, how to better yourself, better your life, how to increase your funding, decrease your spending, because the number one issue, the number one thing we need to be thinking about is decreasing our debt, making sure more money stays in the house, less money leaves out the house. These are tips and trades and secrets that we all need to follow and we all need to do. We all need to do. So this is In Black America. This is your host, Rasta B. I am signing off. I will holler at you guys Friday. Peace.